Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rotolo, also known as Miss ADD, and I want to wish everybody who's listening out there a happy Father's Day. I think we're going to have a lot of fun today and also give some really important feedback, because we're talking about dating and ADHD. And my guest host is Anthony Marino.
Thanks for having me.
It's fun. We're going to have a lot of fun today. I just wanted to remind everybody out there that ADD is a gift. We all have a gift. We've been gifted. Okay, so let's start this fun hour. And if anybody wants to call in, the number is 917-889-7025. So, Anthony, you're 32?
31.
31,
yeah.
Okay. And so you're single and have been dating for a while?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. So why don't you tell us a funny story about one of your experiences related to ADHD?
You know what? I got a couple of them, but I'll tell you the most current one. This is the last. Well, it was a day, but I was actually going to meet this girl. So I was going to meet up with this girl. I was really into, and basically, it wasn't really a date. It was going to meet up with her and her friends.
Okay.
And we were all going to meet somewhere, and we were going to go out dancing.
Okay.
And I was so nervous because I really like this girl, and you're going to meet her friends, and they're going to go in your car, and I'm going to drive them there, and then we're going to like dance and drink, you know, and then I'm going to drive them back. So
not when you're drinking, I hope.
No. Oh, but okay. I mean, I wasn't going to drink, but because I get too nervous. I don't want to drink, you know.
Okay.
So I'm there at my house, and I was like, I got an hour to kill, and I'm trying to like relax myself. Because I was like, all right, I got to relax, you know. I got to take this slow. Can't take it too serious, you know. I'll miss something, miss a step. So I'm chilling, and then all of a sudden, before I realize it, it's like 10 minutes till I'm supposed to be at her house. And she lives in Long Beach, right? And I'm in San Pedro. So I was like, the time flew. I'm going to be late, and I'm freaking out. So I have my stuff on. So I pull some clothes on all of a sudden, and I run outside and jump in my car. But at this point, it's really cold. It's really cold at night. It was like in the 40s in Los Angeles at this point. It was wintertime.
Okay.
And so.
Did you have on a short sleeve?
Yeah. So I had a shirt on, and I'm freezing. As I'm driving to her place, and I realize I don't have any jacket. How awkward is it going to be, like, when it's, like, freezing outside to not have any jacket, right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, fuck, dude, I got to wear something, you know? Sorry, that's what I was thinking. And I realize I have a sweater in the car is the only thing I can find. Now, the sweater I wear to work, but it's one of those checkered, like, sweaters you wear, like, as teaching, and it's cashmere. It's a cashmere checkered sweater. So I'm like, oh, my God, I got to put this thing on. This is all I have. So I put it on, and the whole time I'm just like, this is a bad idea. So I show up to her place in this checkered sweater. I meet her friends in this thing feeling super insecure. We go out dancing, you know, like, and everything happens. And then, you know, like, I go home. But, like, I didn't feel like for some reason it was successful because of the stinking sweater I had on, you know. Like, it was just...
Did they look at you funny when you...
Well, I wear it when I teach because it's like a teaching sweater. You look like a little professor nerd geek, right? But, like, it's not meant to go on a date by any means. But I kind of got the impression that the friends weren't too impressed with my style. At least that's what I felt.
Did you ever see her again?
Yeah. I mean, I see her every now and again and her friends. And it's like we're all good and we're all friendly. But it's like I couldn't move to that. But I still to this day, like, blame that sweater. Like, to this day, like, I'm like...
Well, let me tell you what I blame it on.
What?
Okay? And this is part of the issue, I think, that a lot of us have. I blame it on losing track of time. A lot of us, and follow this, okay? A lot of us in our world, we're thinking, wow, we've got an hour and a half to get ready, and then before we know it, it's 10 minutes before we're supposed to be in Long Beach, and you're in San Pedro, and had you thought that whole thing through and gotten ready earlier... You could have walked outside and said, wow, it's cold, and gone, had the time to go back in the house and put something else on.
Yeah, I still dread that, like, memory, you know, of even wearing that thing on. I should have just, like, I don't know. But
right.
It was, you know, like you were saying.
Right. But I think, you know, we all have to look at, you know, the kind of negative symptoms of ADD and how they impact our dating time when we're with other people. So, you know, for example, I have a funny story. Now, I started to get back into the dating world about 4 years ago. I'm, you know, with a life partner now, so I'm not dating anymore, but I was on Match.com, and I met a number of people on Match.com, and a lot of them would, you know, want to meet right away. You know, they'd wink at me or send me a message, and, you know, I was more in control of those negative symptoms at that point in time, so I really wanted to get to know them a little bit. I wanted to write back and forth, or I wanted to talk to them on the phone before I met them. But one guy in particular, I made a date to meet them at a local coffee shop. And I got there right on time, and I waited about a half an hour, and nobody ever showed up. And I'm, you know, thinking, okay, well, I guess maybe he decided not to come. And then my phone rang, and it was him, and he was like, I'm here. I've been here for a half an hour. And I'm saying, that's impossible because I'm here. And I started walking around. I said, and I'm walking around, but I don't see you. Well, to make a very long story short, it turned out I was at the wrong coffee shop. So there was my impulsivity of not really listening. I just assumed that I knew exactly where the coffee shop was. So that day we met, that didn't go very well.
So did you guys end up meeting after again?
We ended up actually meeting. He came to the coffee shop that I was at,
uh-huh.
But it was already spiraling downward.
Oh, it was
downward.
Like a bad, it was a bad start.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I mean, that was something that happened to me recently, you know, when I was much younger, and I, back in my 20s, because I'm 58, I had no idea what ADD was back in the Stone Age, and nobody really talked about it or knew it anything about it, except they might call it hyperactivity. And I remember, as I think back, dating people who were definitely ADD, because one guy in particular had absolutely no sense of eye contact. Like,
yeah.
We'd sit across the table from each other, and he was all over the room, like, there goes a squirrel. And I didn't think it was very funny at the time, because I felt like he just wasn't paying attention to me. But now that I look back on it, I see that he definitely had an inability to focus, and everything that was going by him was catching his eye or his attention, and he wasn't focused enough on the conversation.
Do you turn and look when somebody does that? If you notice somebody, like, is not focusing behind you, do you, like, have it be like, what are you looking at?
Yeah, because I wonder, like, how come you're not looking
yeah.
at me? I'm talking, you know, and you're looking behind me or looking to the side. Yeah, I kind of do follow when they do that.
Do
but
that,
I
yeah.
but I do remember that. So, you know, these are the kind of things that happen to all of us in this population when we go out. And one of the things is I think we end up kind of blaming the other person instead of taking responsibility. That's a lot of what I see. A lot of it is because of things that we've heard. Again, we go back to our childhood and, you know, adolescent years when we were labeled certain things because in school, you know, we were lazy or we procrastinated. And so if something goes wrong in the dating world or in our life, we will tend to kind of want to blame other people for it. So did you have a great date? Well, no, I didn't because of the other person. You see, it's not like I want to take responsibility. I did this, this, and this. So that's another big part of, you know, being ADD and wanting to put stuff onto other people. So the people that I work with, especially, you know, young adults, adolescents, I try to really help them to take responsibility, to slow down and take responsibility for what they're doing in any aspect of life, not only dating, you know. So what other stories do you have for us?
Oh, man. You know, I now when we were getting ready for this to talk on the show, I was going through some of the dates I had been on. And what I realized a lot is how impulsive I am on a lot of dates. Like, I'll get fixated on one thing about that person, or I'll be in a certain zone or mood and, like, be disassociated from, like, just relaxing and just going through the motions. Like, there's always something I got to be doing or whatever. And one in particular, I'll tell you, this is a kind of a one that's memorable, is that I had met this lady at a bar, and she turned out to be a physical therapist.
Oh.
And fully certified, was working like at a hospital.
Wow.
A very successful person, you know. And I was talking to her, and she's really cool. And she, and even me, like, I have a problem where my neck kind of sticks out, like, a little bit. She was talking how I could fix that and showing me stuff. And I was like, wow, I want to get to know this person. This is really awesome. Like, she could help me.
She could fix your neck.
She could fix my, you know, my posture problems and some of the things that I have wrong. So I was really into her because she was like, she could help me out. So we went on a date, and I met her at a coffee shop. And then after we started having, you know, I was really talking to her. You know, I get really animated because I was really in. I was like, so what do you do? How are your patients? You know, I was getting into, and she's like, she was probably thinking this guy really likes me, you know? And so we ended up walking down the sidewalk, and she took me into a sex shop, and she was like, oh, look at this, look at that. And all I could think about was, like, talking about, like, my back and my posture and all these things, because I was really into it, you know? Like, I was
I didn't pick up
any of the signals she's trying to give me.
Right, okay.
So then she was like, yeah, why don't you come back to my place, and I could even show you how to do some of these things. And I was like, that would be awesome. She could show me. So at one point, I'm on the floor of her, in her, like, you know, in her dining room, and she's like massaging my back, like fixing it, you know, like correcting my spine. And I was like, how awesome is this? She's showing me, you know, and my shirt's off. And at the very end, you know, she showed me the stuff. I was kind of like, oh, thank you so much. And I ended up leaving, right? Because I was so into this. Like, her fixing my thing. Now that I look back upon it, I was a total fool. But this is what I was like. I was just so fixated on this one point of it that I went back to my buddy's house after, and I told him. He was like, how was your date? And I told him exactly what happened. And he just, like, was like, wait a minute. She took you to a sex shop? Wait a minute. You had your shirt off on the floor in her house? Like, what's wrong with you?
So you know what you were doing? You were hyper-focusing on the aspect of learning more about how to fix yourself. That's where your hyper focus went.
Yeah.
Instead of really focusing on the girl and the date. And it's very funny that you didn't pick up on any of those cues.
Yeah, it was such a bizarre thing, because every once in a while I'll get so focused on one thing sometimes that I'll forget everything else, you know?
Right.
That's happening. Sometimes it happens in lots of social situations, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if I find something really interesting or fascinating, I, like, hyper-focus what you're saying.
Right.
You know how some people just get into something. They're like, oh, that's really interesting. Let's talk about this.
Right.
And then being aware of everything, like, I'll just get hyper-focused on, like, one thing. And I'll just, like, everything else will be zoned out, whatever's happening around me, you know?
So we have all different age groups that we're trying to reach with the show. So we have, you know, young adults, and we have, you know, people that are in my age bracket that either – never got married or have been married before, whether it was once or twice, and just really trying to figure out, you know, how to really go about this in a very positive way. So you meet people, you make friends. So here's one of the things that I think happen in our population. So we make a plan to meet somebody, to have a date, and we meet up with them, we sit down, and instead of just focusing on the fact that this is another person that we can get to know, that we can possibly even be just friends with, we take it to the next level. And that's where the impulsivity comes in to play. We take it to the next level, we start feeling very anxious, and we start telling them our entire life story the first time we meet them, from beginning to end. And, you know, if you pay attention, if you're focusing, able to focus on the other person, you're seeing this look of abject fear on their face because you've told them every intricate detail about your life that they don't really need to know, especially on the first date. Because then there's no sense of, you know, secrecy or, you know, them finding out a little bit at a time. Do you notice that? Like, people that you've gone out with, or have you done that?
Yeah, you meet a lot of people when you go on dates who are just been burned, you know, or something, and they just like, okay, well, forget them then. I'm going to go on some dates.
Right.
So you go on some dates, and then they start telling you all about their last relationship, and it's, like, super fixated on it, and they're like, you know, and sometimes it's like, why are you on this date, you know, because they're like, I just moved out. I just moved out from my boyfriend, and you know, I can't believe he was a little lying, this, and this, you know, and all these things. And you're like, oh, okay, how long did that go? And they were like, you know, 5 years I was with this person that's, you know, SOB. And you're like, whoa, what's going on? You know, like, you should need to, like, time to yourself. And then when your emotions calm down, you should be dating. But you find out all the time that, like, a lot of advice friends will give other friends is like, oh, you should just get out there and meet other people.
Right.
Is a
but
lot
see,
of
but
advice.
They don't look at it. What I've noticed is that with the people I work with, they don't look at it as just getting out there and meeting people. They look at it more like they're going to hang on to this one person that comes along. If they really, really are attracted to them and like them. So they've thrown the friend thing out the window at that point in time, and now they're looking to go to the next level, okay? So if they're struggling with anxiety, which is a co-occurring disorder with ADD, then they're going to start getting needy and controlling and possibly even start stalking this person or get going on Facebook and messaging them all the time or texting them 20 times a day, which, by the way, is not healthy for any kind of relationship. You know, even if you're married, texting somebody all day long really doesn't allow the other person to feel individuated, which is what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
So I think that what we're seeing, even in my age group, is we're seeing a lot of people with ADD, like we talked about last week, that have not grown up. They have not individuated. And so they don't have that internal validation. So when they go on dates, they look for validation in the other person and not in themselves. And that's where all of us end up getting into trouble. Even though some of these stories are very funny, the bottom line is they can ultimately turn out to be pretty sad. And that's one of the things that I like to help people with is, you know, how to just take it slow, take a step back, learn how to communicate properly with people that you're going out with. Don't look too anxious. You know, my life partner and I met on Match.com. And the funny thing was, we didn't know this, but we lived literally down the block from each other. You could throw a ball and we could hit each other's houses or apartments.
Okay.
And so the day we met, when he found out that I lived literally down the street, he got this look of abject fear on his face. And I didn't understand what that was about. But as we dated a little bit, I asked him one night, why did you look so frightened that day when I told you where I lived? He said, because I thought you were going to stalk me. And I said, why do you say that? He said, because I've had other women in my life that have stalked me, and I just have a fear about that. So, you know, it turns out that he's ADD and I am, and we do beautifully together because we're both individuated and grown up. But that's, you know, something that people get concerned about if you come on too strong right away. And I not that I did with him, but it was part of his past. People had stalked him in the past.
Yeah, I do have a tendency to think that if you have ADD or ADHD or something, you do attract a certain kind of person.
Yes.
That can be like not just ADD themselves, but like crazy.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I attract crazy women a lot of times. Like, I hate to admit it, but like I do.
So tell me what you're talking about when you say I attract crazy women. What does that look like? What do they look like? Not physically.
No.
Right.
I get you. Like they don't tell you the whole truth or something a lot of times, or just like one of them. And for instance, I was dating for like 6 months.
Okay.
And everything was cool, but for some reason I had this feeling in my mind because she would never let me pick her up. She would always meet me somewhere.
Oh.
Which is very convenient for like as a guy for a while, you know, because
right.
You're like, hey, she wants to come over and see me.
Right.
That's cool. Like, hey, but then after a while, you're like, why am I never picking her up? Like every time I'm like, hey, I'll go beat you at your place. She's like, oh, no, I'll drive to you. And I'm like, okay, but it makes it in the back of your mind. Well, it turned out she was married.
Whoa.
Yeah, and she never told me.
For 6 months you dated her?
Yeah, and then I was like, I asked you if you were with somebody before I went out with you, and you said no. And her response was something like strange, you know, like...
I'm unhappy? Or?
Oh, no. It was like, oh, you asked if I was dating somebody, but you never asked if I was married.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? What does that even mean, you know? That's crazy.
Wow.
You know, and then...
That's scary.
That was, yeah, that's crazy. Like, who?
Right.
who says that? And then after, she was like, oh, I never told you because I thought you'd be mad at me, you know, kind of weirdness. And,
well, I think to your point about sometimes, especially men with ADHD can attract crazier type of women,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa, okay? And I think a lot of it is the personality. So, you know, for myself, I have the hyper piece, so I'm not inattentive. And I was very, very impulsive and hyper as a younger person, and I was a lot of fun. People always thought, wow, she's so funny, she's got a great personality. And then, you know, after I would get into dating this person for a while, they would see another side of me, which was the person who lost things all the time, who was late for everything. So I think that that's where we can sometimes attract, I guess, for loss of a better word, crazy people, because they like that kind of, you know, energy that we have. We have a certain kind of energy that could attract those kind of people. But we were also pretty crazy ourselves. I mean, I know when I was in my 20s and dating, I would have to classify myself as a little bit off the charts because I wasn't thinking. I was too impulsive to even stop and do that kind of thinking. And the other thing I did a lot of was I would do a lot of drinking during that time because I was really struggling with the whole interaction of one-on-one, and I didn't know how to handle, so I would go to self-medicate. I would drink a lot, so I would be able to communicate. But I many times ended up getting into some, you know, trouble drinking too much and trying to relate to another person when you're drunk is kind of difficult.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've had some really bad experiences with exactly what you just said.
Oh, really?
Like one time, this is going to be very embarrassing, but it's pretty funny, is that I can remember I was getting drunk and I was trying to talk to these German girls. This is back a while ago. And, you know, I'm a history major, right? So the only thing I know about Germany and at this time is, like, the Nazis. So I start talking about this girl about, like, Germany and Nazis. And, like, of course it didn't go over well, you know, because nobody likes to hear about that. But, like, I mean, it was the only thing I could think of because I was trying to relate. But, like, obviously my social skills didn't kick in. So I'm just sitting there talking about World War II with this girl the whole time, and she wasn't too happy about it.
So were you drinking too much? Is that what happened?
Yes, I was. I was drinking a lot. But, like, I'm trying to, like, just, like, have a social – I can't relate. But, like, that wasn't the route to go, obviously.
Absolutely. But you become disinhibited when you drink.
Yeah.
So you're going to talk about things when you're drinking that you might not necessarily talk about when you're sober.
Yeah, but the thing is I, you know, the sad part is I know a lot about World War II because I'm a history major.
Right.
And Nazis, but – that's not something you want to talk about on a date, you know, or you're trying to hit on a girl, right?
No, and especially when she's from Germany.
Yeah, that's not good.
That isn't what we want her to think.
She's a German intern student. That wasn't too smart.
No,
right?
No. So the other thing, let's talk about procrastination for a minute. Okay. So we, you know, we make a date with somebody,
mm-hmm.
okay, and we're supposed to meet them. We set up to meet them at a certain place, at a certain time.
Yeah.
So we make sure that we're going to be on time. We're not going to be late. But we really don't know where we're meeting them. They gave us the name of the place. We're supposed to figure out how to get there now, right? So we all have, most of us have GPSs in our phones, okay? But let's say for those of us who don't, or the time when we didn't have GPSs. So we wait to the last minute, and we end up being late, showing up late for the date. And that doesn't really make the person that we're meeting feel special when we walk in the restaurant an hour late, if they're still there. Okay, so then the other procrastination is, do we make sure that we have enough money? Do we get to the place and the bill comes and we go to pull out our wallet, and because we haven't checked everything, we left our wallet home? How embarrassing would that be for you?
Yeah, I want to hear a story about that. I bet you there's some really good ones.
Oh, I'm sure.
As an Italian man, if I forgot my wallet, I'd be devastated. Because, like, you know, we have to pay for everything at first, you know?
Exactly.
I forgot my wallet just with my friends a couple times, you know, and I'll be, like, devastated. But, like, I couldn't imagine on a date.
So you never had that problem forgetting?
No, not on a date. The time has always been something that I've been more to, or, you know, like, I didn't do something right. Like, I forgot to clean my car or something. Like,
that's the
all
other
the steps.
Thing.
Yeah. That's something I do forget a lot because, like, I'll be so focused on like one aspect of just trying to look good, and then all of a sudden I'll hop in my car and I'll be like, dude, why is my car so dirty, like for a date? Like,
yeah,
I'll just totally,
yeah,
totally zone out.
Yeah, see, but that's the other piece of the whole thing too is, you know, a lot of us are unorganized,
uh-huh.
and so if we use our car a lot, our car is going to look like we live in our car.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of, you know, stuff.
I do.
A lot of people just throw stuff in their car. You may be a fast food eater, so you're throwing bags of fast food in your car. I've seen this where you can't even get in the door. And you go to pick up a girl, or a guy comes to pick up a girl, or vice versa, and the car is so dirty, would you want to get in?
Yeah, like one girl, I was kind of glad I picked up the car, but I should have vacuumed it and stained it, because like I noticed that the girl got in my car and like looked around, you know, and I was like, oh, thank God it's clean, you know. But like, if
yeah.
you know, if it was like really dirty, she might have, you know.
No, because it's a turnoff if you think about it, unless the person you're picking up is a hoarder, and they
yeah.
and they have the, you know, the same affliction that you do of, you know, hoarding in their car. You see, you have to think about all these things, you know, ahead of time. The other thing I think sometimes that can be a turnoff to women and men is you go on a first date and the other person is talking all the time, or you're talking. You don't take the time to slow down enough to allow that other person to say something. You're just talking, talking, talking. It doesn't necessarily mean you're telling them your life history, but you're so nervous that you just can't, you're so anxious you can't stop talking. And what I was taught years ago is that if you're in a room full of people, even at a meeting at work, the person who talks the most, if it's not the boss, is the one who's the most anxious in the room. So anxiety can get the better of us when we go out on a date and we get so nervous that we feel like we have to talk all the time. Or you take the other extreme. Some of us have social anxiety disorder. So we put ourselves out there. We decide we're going to go out on a date, and we're praying to God that the other person's going to talk because we're afraid to. So you've got all different kinds of situations that come up. If the other person doesn't talk, you're sitting there really quiet, and the both of you are quiet. Now nobody's getting to know each other. So there's a lot of different aspects of the negative symptoms of ADD that can come up for us, and it can be not pretty.
I agree. Yeah, I think that, oh, man, now that ADD can just really hinder you, I think, on a date, but it also, you can also be very fun, too.
Yeah.
I've got that compliment a lot,
right.
Because we tend to be, like, outside-the-box thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to be able to, like, make the day a lot of fun. And people, like you said, draw into that personality.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like you're saying, you can unleash, like, say things because you're trying to make it too fun that maybe you shouldn't, you know? Like, or make fun of somebody or you know, like, I remember one time I was making fun of somebody. I was, like, joking, like, about people. Like some people are super sensitive, you know, about things.
Right.
Obviously, it didn't work out, but I remember that I was like, what's this lady's problem, you know?
Right, right.
I automatically knew it wasn't going to work out.
Well, because there's the impulsivity. We have to be sensitive to this new person that we're just meeting, and we can't just blurt out things that come into our head,
mm-hmm.
even though we want to be really funny. We have to think through what we're getting ready to say pretty quickly, so that we're not going to hurt their feelings by what we're saying. Or is it a turnoff to them if we're saying something that's off color? Because we don't know this person, right? So here's
yeah.
the double-edged sword to this whole thing, right?
Okay.
So we go out, first time we meet somebody, we're a lot of fun, they really like us, we're out-of-the-box thinkers, we're creative, our creativity comes out, and we're dating this person for a little while, and then the negative symptoms start to rear their ugly head, okay? So we invite them back to our house. They get on the internet, and they're hyper-focusing on something for 3 hours while we're sitting there waiting to watch a movie, right?
Sure.
These kind of things can happen. Or we continually are late to show up for dates, or, you know, they invite us over to their house for dinner. They have their parents come over, and we show up 2 hours late because we're not keeping track of time. We're completely losing, you know, track of what we're doing, and we're exiting. You know, we're moving on to other things instead of staying on the path of getting out the door to go on the date. Or we lose things all the time. We can't find our keys. They have to help us find our keys. We leave our wallet home. We lose our money, whatever it is. You know, we can't focus on topics of conversation. So all these kind of negative symptoms, like I call them, of ADD that come up, everybody who's out there listening, you have the ability to get in control of these. There's things you can do. You know, individuation that we talked about last week, growing up and starting taking responsibility for your life and all these symptoms that most of us just say, well, you know, that's who I am. No, no, no. That's what you do. That's not who you are. The other thing is mindfulness, right? Staying in the moment, just noticing the thoughts instead of engaging, so we can focus more, so we're not impulsive. So we're thinking more about the other person and not all the time about ourselves. So do you notice you use mindfulness for some of that?
Yeah, now I could totally see after, you know, doing the work like I have been going to Justine's class and reading the reading books about just ADD, I feel like I would totally be more into the moment, just like enjoying like the time you're with the person, not having to like be a certain way or just, you know, not have the certain emotions.
Right.
Of like, I have to do this or I have to do that, or this is what I need to accomplish for the date to be perfect.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
But just like enjoying what's going on and not worrying about, you know, whether this is going to go good or bad, you know? And I think that's something that's really key, I think, in dating, and that that's not really talked about. It's just being there and not worrying whether this is going to go good or bad and just seeing if this is going to work out. I mean, and just let it happen. Whatever happens kind of happens.
Right.
I mean, everybody says that, just be yourself. But, I mean, it's not necessarily that. It's more of a presence, just being, like, being there.
Right. It's like being in the seat of consciousness and just kind of being in the moment and not worrying. I think a lot of us tend to worry about the future. So we meet somebody for the first time. We really like them. We connect with them. Physically and emotionally, we're feeling really good about, you know, this night we've spent, you know, having dinner or whatever. So we immediately start to run to the future. Oh, my God, am I going to see this person again? You know, when am I going to see them? And we start revving ourselves up. So that's where, you know, all the negative symptoms start to come out, and where we're feeling insecure. That's a big part of it. You know, insecurity, if we don't hear from this person the next day, right away it's a disaster. They don't want anything to do with us. When really, you know, when you go out with somebody the first time, they're not going to call, usually don't call you the next day. It may be a week before you hear from them. And if you have that internal validation, feeling good about yourself, you're an adult, then it's okay if they don't call you for a week.
Do you think it's okay that somebody doesn't call you for a week?
I really do.
After
when,
a date?
When my life partner and I first started to date, we didn't talk to each other. I would say that maybe once a week we talked to each other, and that wasn't a big deal for me. I was very comfortable because, if nothing else, I really was going to have a friend. That was the most important thing to me. And I think if you can look at it that way and relax, that's what it's all about. And not trying to control their reactions or what they're going to do. That's a big piece of this whole thing. Being an adult and dating, especially in our world, being an adult is the single most important thing. So that if you're out with a guy and he happens to glance over at some good-looking girl that walks into the room, that doesn't mean that he doesn't like you. Men are very visual, right?
Sure.
And a good-looking woman walks in, you can't get crazy about that. You just have to understand that they're visual. They can look all they want. I mean, that's part of life. Women sometimes, especially I see in my kind of age bracket, 40 to 58, especially if they've been hurt, if they've had bad relationships, that's when these kind of things start to come up, What my suggestion for everybody who's listening, if you've been in a bad relationship, make sure before you even start to date again, you work through all those issues first of that bad relationship. If you were cheated on, make sure you work through those issues, because you start dating, then you're going to put all your feelings and emotions onto that other person, and that's not going to be healthy. It's not going to be good at all.
I could see that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. No. I agree. I agree with that. I remember dating a girl who was cheated on. That wasn't fun at all. Because then they get super jealous. You know,
right.
Where are you going? What's
right.
going? What's what? You're not back at this time, or like, who did you? I remember. I do salsa dancing.
Right.
And my ex was always like, "Who'd you dance with?" And I was like, "Girls," you know. Like I was like.
Not the guys.
Not the guys, you know. And then, like, yeah, it's just they're super insecure, you know.
Yeah.
And she was good looking.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it doesn't make any sense to me.
No, because I have to tell you something. It doesn't matter about that. It's
yeah.
internal stuff, Anthony. If you don't feel good about yourself inside, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. The first psychiatrist, my first therapist was a psychiatrist, and he told me a story one time because I was 25 at the time. And feeling very, very insecure. And he said, you know, I have a supermodel that I see, and you would know her if I told you who she is. But, of course, he didn't. But he said, out of all my clients, she's absolutely the most insecure person because she doesn't feel good about herself. Even though on the outside people were, you know, drooling over her, didn't matter because of how she felt on the inside. So I'm gonna read a question that we got from somebody in the audience. It's a 27-year-old male. I'm ADHD, and for the past year, everything between me and my girlfriend was great. Now it seems like I can't do anything right. She tells me how I am always late, I'm a slob, I always say the wrong thing, what happened? Well, I love the question because it's so typical of what happens in this ADHD population. I work with a lot of couples who I hear the same story. So for the first year, everything was going well because we're exciting, just what you and I were talking
right.
about. We're out-of-the-box thinkers. We like to have fun. We're creative, and our creative side really, really comes out. And then this is a long time. A year is a long time for things to be going really well. Usually I hear it's shorter than that. But then what happens is she begins looking at your – you know, lateness, you're always late, you're a slob, you don't pick up after yourself. That's very juvenile. So you probably haven't individuated, grown up. You always seem to say the wrong thing. Well, to her, she's probably looking for that person that she first met who was very kind, put her up on a pedestal where nobody belongs on a pedestal. But these are some of the things that we do. She's developing resentment. That's what's happening. She's angry. She's developing resentment. So what needs to happen is you guys, if you want to stay together, if you want this relationship to grow, you really are going to need to get some help. So if you're in the South Bay, please, by all means, go on my website and contact me. You can also contact me through Chad or, you know, on my Facebook page. And I'd be more than happy to help you. If you're not, then please find yourself a good couples counselor, because I think that would really help you a lot. Okay, so that was a good question, Anthony, because
yeah.
I think it's a lot about what you and I have just been talking about, how things change after a while. I mean, even though we're a lot of fun, those negative symptoms.
Yeah, 27-year-old guy, he's a slob, he's probably not doing his laundry,
right.
playing too much Xbox.
That's the
you
other
know,
thing.
A lot of times you find out, especially at school I work at, a lot of ADD, ADHD kids play a lot of video games.
Right.
Because it's like it gives them like their attention gets super, you know, hyper-focused. And,
right.
And they're able to like control their like, it holds their attention for very long.
Exactly.
So, you know, and I think a lot of males in general, it's like a problem. It's like, you know, first they're great and then the girl moves in and then it's like, he's playing video games a lot or something. You know?
Well, because it's very juvenile behavior.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying that people shouldn't be able to play video games. They absolutely can. But to be on the video box for 4 hours and you're 30 years old is, I think, a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, but you find a lot of guys with ADD, ADHD do that a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Especially the guys I know.
So I have another question. It's, I used to feel up, but now I kind of feel like something is wrong with me, and I feel angry all the time. So this is a question really about depression.
Okay.
It's not about dating. And I think that what you need to do with this is probably make an appointment to see a psychiatrist and then get into therapy. And again, if you're in the South Bay, you can always contact me. I'd be more than happy to see you. I don't know if this question is directly related to dating or not, but I think when you start feeling down and you're feeling down all the time, that's a red flag to really go out and find yourself some help. I don't know if you're on stimulant medication or if you've ever been on an antidepressant, but talk therapy too is really, really important. Okay, and here's another question. This is from a 26-year-old male. I'm ADHD, and I've been with my current girlfriend for about 3 months, and she texts me, you see, 6 to 20 times a day. She is always making plans for us to go away for the weekends, and when we go away, we never leave the room. It is starting to seem or feel strange. Is this a warning sign? So I definitely think this is a warning sign. First of all the texting has to stop. If this was an adult, she would be really living her life, and you would just be an added attraction kind of thing. It wouldn't be that she had to constantly be with you 24/7. What I find is a lot of people that are dating, they can't hold on to the other person in their head or emotionally, so they feel that they have to text them or call them a lot during the day, and that's a real problem, because if there's two adults, two people have their own lives, they're doing their own thing, even if you're married, but then you come back together, that has to be, you know, a time when you can talk about things. If you're texting each other 20 times a day or calling each other, you have nothing to talk about when you get back together.
Track shoes, buddy.
Yes, that's right. I'd say put on your track shoes, tie them up. But here's the other thing, though. So when you go away for the weekend, so all she wants to do is stay in the room and I would imagine be intimate, there's something going on there because there has to be more.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I remember my ex would text me all the time at work, you know. That's the worst, when they text you at work. And then they are like, and then she would be all, why haven't you texted me back? Why haven't you got back to me? And you're like, I'm working, you know. So sometimes you're on break, sometimes you're not. It's like you can't text every second. So I would just stay away from her. And then if you're in the room by yourself in a hotel room with her and she just wants to stay in all the time, I mean, that's a problem for some guys, but you got to go out every once in a while.
Well, yeah, sure.
Especially
you
on
do.
A vacation, you know?
Yeah, I think that whole sexual thing of staying in the room all the time is about holding on to the person, and they use that as that connection, which is not a good connection because you have to have conversations, you have to go out, you have to have a good time. So, you know, I think that you should definitely, as Anthony said before, put your track shoes on. So I think we have somebody on the line. So let me just pick up this caller. Hang on 1 minute. Hi. Who am I talking to? Hello? Hello? Hi.
Hi.
Hello? Hi. Who am I talking to?
This is Monique.
Oh, hi, Monique. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good,
thanks.
Do you have
call.
A question? Oh, you're welcome. I'm happy that you called. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah. I have this problem where usually when I'm with someone, my thoughts, like I'm just daydreaming about something else, and I feel like I can't be present with them, and it's hard to have that, like, connection with them.
So were you diagnosed with ADD inattentive?
Yeah.
Okay. So your whole life, did you notice that when you were in school that you started to drift off? So
yeah,
your attention
definitely.
Was taken away. Okay, so now that's happening even when you are doing one-on-one conversation.
Yeah,
with somebody.
Sometimes the person will say something and it'll remind me of something else, and my mind just gets carried away on this tangent.
That's
and then
really
5
funny.
Minutes later, I come back and I'm like, oh shit.
Do they realize that you're having this issue?
I don't know. I hope they don't. I mean,
I think you need to date a guy with a six-pack.
All the way through.
Well, let me ask you something. Have you gotten any help, like, you know, medication?
I did try a medication once, and I didn't like it. It didn't work well.
You didn't like the way it made you feel?
Yeah.
Okay. So what my suggestion would be that you find somebody that's a little bit more exciting. because I think that unfortunately maybe the people that you're picking are a little dull or they would hold your attention. What do you think?
You have to like be dancing and talking at the same time.
I think
that
would be very funny.
try a guy with some muscles.
Yeah,
you know?
A guy with some muscles.
Okay.
But wait a second, though. What about the people that you're dating? Are they creative like you?
Yeah, they are.
Huh. That's very interesting.
It doesn't happen all the time, but
okay.
I don't know. Just more
but
mundane
but
conversations. I mean, because
yeah.
Not every conversation is going to be exciting.
That's right. That's exactly right. So maybe what you could say to them is, look, you know what? If you're going to talk to me about mundane, boring stuff, I'm going to be off thinking about my creative life. So if I check out for a minute, I'll be right back. Well, I don't know if we were helpful, but, you know, I really think that the inattentive type of ADD can be difficult when it comes to really focusing, especially if medication doesn't work for you and you can't use it. Although if you try the mindfulness route, that may help
uh-huh.
you. Because if you could stay in the moment and be in the moment with that person, just noticing your thoughts and not engaging in them, that
yeah.
may help you to really be more attentive to the person
yeah.
you're talking to. Have you tried the mindfulness route at all?
Yeah, I have. And I think sometimes I can catch myself drifting.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And but sometimes I don't.
Okay. Well, again, I think what Anthony and I are saying is you're going to have to date some really happy, creative people.
I'm going to get some guy who sparks you like you want to be with him. You're like, wow, this guy's so interesting, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're dating a guy you're kind of into, but it's not like you're in like all the way, you know?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, I think somebody that you were really, really into,
uh-huh.
it might be a little different. And again, the whole mindfulness thing, it can be really big. Because I think what Monique is doing is she's engaging in those thoughts that come up instead of focusing on the guy that she's with.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I can
yeah.
see that.
Yeah. So I think if you
yeah.
try that, the next time you go out, it may be totally different for you.
Okay.
I hope so. Well, listen, thank
yeah.
you for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
You take care. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, that was pretty interesting, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, girls, yeah, well, probably. I guess a girl is not into you. They just kind of like zone out. I guess now that they think about it, that'd be kind of messed up on a date if a girl just zones out.
Yeah.
But, no, I always been able to entertain somebody, at least at some point, I feel. Although there was a time this girl was just kind of like, blah, you know, no personality.
Oh,
you ever
okay.
date somebody with no personality?
Well, but sometimes those people, you have to be sensitive to the fact that they may have social anxiety.
That's true.
And as you get to know them more, as they feel more comfortable with you, then they can open up and be funnier. My son is one of those people. He has ADHD, but
mm-hmm.
he also can be very quiet, but he's very funny.
It's quiet I could take, but like...
Spaced out?
Just, yeah, spaced out or zoning out, I don't know. Because I just feel like if I was like, hey, what's going on? What? And she was like that, I would...
Oh, so you didn't feel like maybe she was listening to you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I get it. Okay, so here's another question. So from a 45-year-old woman, why do people with ADD or ADHD seem to have controlling or critical type of behavior?
So are these people, she's asking, you know, always maybe borderline or narcissistic? Well, there's always tendencies. There can be tendencies of that. I think that what happens in our world, we have a difficult time with regulating our emotions. And when that happens, we may look like we're being very controlling or critical because the emotions that we're feeling come over us like a tidal wave, and then we don't really know what to do with those feelings when they come up. And so instead of being able to sort them out, we can really get critical and controlling and get angry. And that's why we may look like we have other disorders, where my belief is I think a lot of it is just that inability to control, to really get in control of the emotions. So I really appreciate that question. I thank you for that. So what else can we talk about right now, Anthony?
Man, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, all the dates I've been on, like, what has been my problem, too. And I think at times, like, sometimes I think it's timing. I think timing's a key thing to
You're feeling, you mean?
Well, yeah, how you're feeling when you go out, and just being able to let things go, I think, on the date. Like, one of the things we talked about earlier was you go on the date and you blah, 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 you know?
Right.
But just letting certain things flow and not worrying, not, like, really trying to focus on or, like, trying to do too much. Like, one time I was on this date with this girl, and I really liked her. Like, all the you know, some dates I go on a girl, I'm like, I'll try her out, but this one I really liked.
Right.
So I go on this date. We meet up. It's a great dinner, you know. I think she's really into me. I tell her a little bit, but in the back of my mind, I had this thing planned out where I was going to meet up with a bunch of friends to go salsa dancing.
Okay.
So I've already put a time limit on this date, which I totally shouldn't have done. But it's getting later. We're chatting. It's like the dinner is going. And it's getting to that point where I got to take her home. So I take her home, and I realize that I've already went over the time I was going to go meet my friends dancing. I only got 20 minutes left to dance, right? And she lives in Hermosa, and the place to go dancing is El Segundo. So
okay.
I got to go through Manhattan Beach. It's like 15, 20 minutes away.
Okay.
So I'm like, crap, I got to drop this girl off, and I'm not going to make it in time to go dancing. My plans were ruined. But I was like, but I could maybe make this. So she hops in my car. I speed her home, right? And I drop her off in the driveway. And I'm like, and she's like, all right, I'll see you later. I was like, okay, bye. And I peeled out in her driveway, and I took off, right? And I made it there to the dancing with 10 minutes left. I, like, floored it, like, 80 to go to this thing because I wanted to meet up with my friends after not realizing, like, how this would probably look, you know? So it was like, I was like, you know.
Did you
ever
talk to her again?
Yeah, she's really cool. She found this other guy she's into. Obviously, we didn't go back on a date.
Right.
But I realized, like, did I just peel out in her driveway? Like, how bad does that look when you peel out in a girl's driveway? But I was trying to make it somewhere.
See, and that's something good to talk about, too. I think we tend to obsess, because if any of you out there listening are OCD,
yeah.
So we go on a date. And things seem to go pretty well, but we start to obsess about little things that we did or we might have said that
yeah.
have caused, you know, could have caused issues. And really, you know, it was a great date, but we start to, like, just hyper-focus on those little things that he might have said or we might have said that didn't sit right with us. So now we're off and running, and we're obsessing for maybe 2 or 3 days about this date, and then blaming ourselves for the person not calling us back. So it's like it's
a spiral. Do you think me peeling out in her driveway was a bad sign?
I think it's very funny. I think you were really focused on getting back to dance because that's what you love to do.
Yeah.
But and I don't think she took it up wrong. But if you wanted to, you could have obsessed about that for a long time, worrying how she took it.
Yeah, I didn't obsess, but I realized that was probably like a bad thing to do.
I think,
like,
it's
you
okay.
know, like I think that ruined it, because I was just like, wow, if a girl, like, peeled out in my driveway after dropping me off, like, I'd be like, wow, she really doesn't like me, you know?
That would be like putting on your track shoes and running, right?
Yeah, because I mean, like, wow, that was strange and awkward. I mean, probably made her feel like,
Right.
Like, whatever, you know?
Yeah, I don't think so, because she still talks to you. So
well, we're, like, still friends.
Right.
I mean, like, it's all good, you know? I mean, it was, like, one date, and it didn't really go anywhere, but I think, like, you know, she realized she put me in the friend zone at that point, you know?
Which is great. You got another friend.
It's true.
So we have another question. We have a 23-year-old with ADD. She's a female.
Okay.
Who do ADD people seem to attract? Men, women who seem to be controlling? Why do, I guess, or who do? Men or women who seem to be controlling or critical? All the guys I seem to attract always want to tell me what to do and how I should do it. Why? Well, okay, you have some ownership here. This isn't only about the guys that are telling you.
This is about the girls.
Because you're allowing this to happen. If it bothers you that much that, you know, the people you're attracting are controlling or critical or tell you what to do, then it's up to you to do something about that. You have to really start and figure out for yourself, what is it about me that attracts these kind of people? Do I give off certain messages that lets these people think that they can either treat me this way or be critical with me or try to control everything that I do? And if I were you, I would definitely try to get into some coaching therapy to really find out a little bit more about yourself. I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm thinking that probably your father might have been controlling, critical, might have wanted to tell you what to do all the time. And as a little girl, adolescent, there wasn't much you could do about that. But as you got older, you definitely could have changed that interaction. So you might want to go explore that a little bit with a therapist and see what's happening there. What do you think, Anthony?
I think that a lot of girls have this problem where they want to be with a guy who is like a manly man, you know?
Okay.
And so the way they interpret this is that, you know, I got to find this guy. He's this perfect picturesque person, but he's also assertive. You know, a lot of girls like that guy who's very assertive, but then some guys can be a little overboard with it. Like, you're going to do this. You're going to wear this. You're going to go here. You're going to act like this, you know? But a lot of girls kind of like that. They like a guy who's going to, like, give them a fight, you know, because they like to be
because
treated like that. You know, I feel like, because they were maybe treated like that with their father, like you're saying.
Right.
And
because
so,
it's what they're used to.
It's what they're used to. Yeah. You find
right.
a lot of girls who end up liking that because what they're used to. But
then they begin to question it. Like, she's beginning to question.
Yeah, she's starting
it.
To realize. I think this obviously this person's starting to realize this is not the route to go.
Right.
You should try to find somebody who you can compromise with.
Right.
About things and meet somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Rather than have somebody who just tells you what to do all the time.
Yeah, and I think it's great that you sent that question in to us. I appreciate that, and I hope that you are able to really discover more about yourself and discover why you think you're attracting those kind of people, because I don't want to see you getting hurt. So thank you for that question. And now we have one last question. How important is self-medicating drinking in this equation? Do ADD, ADHD people seem to drink more than other people? Yeah, there's been some studies done on that. And I actually did a talk one time at CHAD, and the name of it was Addiction Begins with ADD. I seem to find that a lot. A lot of it is they're not on the right meds, and they may want to slow down. They feel very anxious a lot, especially when they're interacting with people. So they drink or they use some kind of drug to help them. We're going to have to sign off. This hour went by so fast. It was a lot of fun. I hope all of you enjoyed it. Next week, I'm going to continue this relationship segment. I think we're going to talk a little bit more about just being in relationships more than just dating. Communication would be a big part of that. So I'm signing off. Again, this is Miss ADD, Justine Rotolo. I thank you all for listening and for all your questions. And I look forward to hearing from you next week. And remember, ADD is a gift, and stay in the moment.
How did it sound?